Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Optimize Your Body Podcast. I got my friend here today up in Byron Bay. He lives up just from Sydney up in Byron Bay and known him for a while, Stuart Cook. How you doing, my man?
Good, buddy. Good. Always love our catch-ups because we always kind of chew the fat and talk about this, that and everything. But I think we haven't caught up for a while. It must be, 6 to 8 months, I think. So looking forward to the chat today.
Yeah. Really looking forward to it too, man. It's great to catch up. It has been a while. It's been about 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
And just share with the audience, Stu, first of all, before we get into it, you know, a bit more about yourself. And I'd love you to talk just a little bit about Ancestral as well.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I am in my early 50s now. So I'll be 52 on Anzac Day. So at the end of this month, we're in April at the moment, and I've been in the kind of health and wellness space, if you like, for the past almost 20 years. So I set up my first company with a business partner of mine in 2009. We were doing a few bits before then, but really started off, that was 180 Nutrition. We formulated and brought to market a natural protein formula, which was essentially a bunch of superfoods thrown together, high protein, high fiber, low carbohydrate, at a time when everything was synthetic and full of nasties and mainly just geared towards bodybuilders. And that kind of kicked off this health supplement category, I guess, in Australia, and did that for many, many years, and must have been 15 years. Started a podcast with my biz partner through 180 Nutrition back in the day when podcasts were just a thing.
I was going to say, what year was it you started the podcast? Because you got in there nice and early, didn't you? Every Tom, Dick and Harry's got a podcast now.
We did. I think that that was about 2015, 14, 15.
Okay, yeah, that's it. That's just when I started listening to podcasts, actually, 2015.
Yeah, and it was just one of those times when it was a new thing. We wanted to reach out to experts around the world, just figure out stuff ourselves, because what we're being told didn't make any sense in terms of how we should eat and what we should do to live our best lives. And so we wanted to connect with trailblazers, people that just dedicated their lives to whatever X topic is: gut health, brain health, weight loss, body composition, etc. And then just share the findings with our audience. And that just steamrolled into bigger guests and bigger guests. And the more guests you have in your lineup, the easier it is then to get the next ones. And so that just went on and on and on, and still record that to this very day. So it's called The Health Sessions under 180 Nutrition, although 180 Nutrition is slowly starting to come to an end because that entity was sold. And then I moved on into Ancestral Nutrition, which essentially is beef organ superfoods. So liver, heart, awesome. Kidney, spleen, all of the above, which has really become a passion of mine in terms of, if I could take everything that I've learned from maybe all of the different pillars in terms of nutrition, movement, mindset, and sleep, where do I think the future lies in terms of supplements, strategies, habits, that can make the biggest and longest, or have the longest effect on my health, and that I can share and help other people as well. And that really led me into realizing that irrespective of the type of diet that you're consuming, you're either accessing nutrients or you're not. And that led us into the beef organ space, because beef liver, for instance, is the most nutrient dense food on the planet. We don't eat it because we think it's gross and it's bloody and it's messy and all of the above. So we just made that convenient with powders and capsules, and trying to get all the good stuff into as many people as we can that are maybe following advice that on face value sounds good, but doesn't really honor themselves from an energy and wellness perspective. So we're all about organs at the moment, just living it, trying to educate as many people to consider natural alternatives to synthetic solutions that have appeared in the marketplace from whoever knows, for whatever reason. You know, if you're low in iron, well, there's a synthetic for that. If you're low in, if you're not sleeping well, then there's a solution for that. And we just think, well, let's look at nature first, see what that has to offer. And we have this little phrase that nature doesn't make mistakes. And generally, if you try and pull yourself back to the natural alternative that's right in front of us, it's often a really great place to start.
100%. And you're the one who actually gave me the final nudge to into the animal-based eating, right? Because you told me about Paul Saladino's book, The Carnivore Code. I remember it, right? because I've been on, and by the way, you need to go and check out the Health Sessions podcast, ladies and gents. Amazing podcast, and a great job with that. So many good guests on there, great content. But yeah, we did a podcast. I jumped on there, and you jumped on looking jacked, right? Remember, I never forget it.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened to you? And obviously, I give you one of my programs. I'm like, I know my program's good, but there's something else going on here, and I need to know. And then you're like, I fixed my gut, and telling me all about what you've been doing. You know, we don't necessarily need vegetables, and talking about Paul Saladino, who you've now got a relationship, right? He's like almost like a friend of yours. That's and you give me the nudge to read that book. So I read the book, The Carnivore Code, and I'd known about Saladino and stuff like that. And that was a real game changer for me. So I never look back. When I cut out, again, when you fix your gut, we've talked about this before, but I was getting lots of gut issues, skin conditions as well. And now the great thing is now, because I've done it, that was about 4 years ago, mine. That was back in 2020. Yeah. And I'm thriving. I've never felt better. Everything's changed for the better. But also now I'm aware enough to know what triggers these things because I've played around so much now. I do normally 2 months a year where I go strict carnivore, where I'll just eat literally primarily just beef and eggs. And I'll go back to carbohydrates and I'll bring in some other foods. And I know straight away then the kind of reactions I get on my gut and my skin. But you're the one who actually you literally got me over the line with that, mate. And I appreciate it. And it's not a case of being extreme either, Stu. I just want to say for the audience, it's not about being extreme. It's just we got to the level where we're super fit and healthy, but we were still getting gut issues, right?
Yes.
And it's frustrating.
100%, 100%. And it oftentimes comes back to these little things that perhaps make sense, like we said before. I mean, the visual image of fruits and vegetables makes so much sense. You've got these beautiful plants that are growing and they're colorful, and supposedly all of these wild, beautiful colors are synonymous with vitamins and minerals and nutrients in some way, and we consume all these things. But if you've got any form of upset with your digestive system, whether it be leaky gut, which is the phrase now that 10 years ago was quackery, but now is a very real thing, all the way to food allergies and sensitivities and intolerances, then consuming more fiber will really fix that. Oftentimes, it's the removal of that fiber that then allows the gut to start the healing process. And when you're putting in foods that have a broad spectrum of nutrients that are really beneficial, foods such as red meat, you know, gelatinous cuts of meat, bone broth, things like that, eggs. Oftentimes, you're stripping away all of the noise and you're allowing the body a little bit of a rest period to start this healing process. And it's not until you actually start to restrict some of these foods, oftentimes foods that you really don't want to stop. And I'll throw potatoes in the mix because I was having potatoes at virtually every single meal, every single meal. And it wasn't until last November when I had a conversation with Paul Saladino, and he was talking more about the potatoes and just suggested, well, look, why don't you just remove them for 30 days, see how you go. And I did, and it just made perfect sense. And I felt so much better. Sleep was improved. Skin was improved. Cognition was improved. Digestion was improved. Zero bloating, all of the above, and I just felt better. And I just thought, oh, that's really interesting because I haven't added anything in. I've just removed that one thing. And it's just test and learn. See what it works. But oftentimes people they'll try things, but the things that they really enjoy will be the last things that they'll try. It's like, I can't give up X because I really like that. But those are often the triggers that you have to try and tackle first up.
100%. It was the same thing with me with potatoes as well. I was getting major issues. That was the thing that was giving me the putrid farts, you know? It was brutal. Yeah. And again, I think there's the dosage as well, right? So if you're having them, I was having them a lot as well.
Yeah.
But then I just noticed whenever I bring them back in now, I just don't feel good. I get bloated. I notice my stomach actually physically swells. So if I have like a bunch of potatoes, and sweet potatoes and white potatoes seem to do a similar thing. It doesn't really make that much. I've actually tested both out. But that's the thing. Everyone's so different, right, Stu, with nutrition. Mm-hmm. And it's like, at the same time, we don't want to say, you know, all vegetables are bad. You know, like,
no.
I don't think, and we're not saying that. We're just saying you have to pay attention to what's going on with your gut and how because I eat white rice, for example, you know, I do better with carbs, and yourself as well, right? You're an active guy. You're naturally quite lean like me. We train a lot. And but this research is clear anyway, and obviously Saladino as well, right? He was even saying he had that conversation with Anthony Chaffee, and he was saying, you know, my test levels dropped, my sleep was terrible, I have to bring carbohydrates back in, right? And with performance, you know, it's quite clear in the research that especially when it's high intensity stuff or short bursts, it can be really beneficial. And also for recovery and, you know, a little bit more anabolic, those little things as well make a big difference. You know, like we were saying off air, that 1-5% makes a big difference. But for me, I know it's like white rice, for example. I'm fine with white rice. Digest it really easy. And actually, you know, white rice is actually better for you than brown rice because brown rice contains anti-nutrients, phytates, all those kind of things. Awesome. And a lot of people, they get confused about it. Oh, I thought brown rice is better. But actually, I mean, if you feel okay eating it, that's fine. But white rice just so easy for me and I can get my calories in then as well. And I enjoy eating it with olive oil and salt. I love it, man. It's amazing.
And yeah, and I've introduced pumpkin. So pumpkin is something that, again, like it's from a different family than potatoes and but kind of tastes a little bit like potatoes when cooked appropriately. And it's tasty. And so that's, and I will still eat vegetables, but not a great deal because I know which ones are my triggers and I can get my carbohydrates from fruit that don't do that. And like you said, like I need my carbohydrates. When I pull out my carbohydrates, things go pear-shaped. And it's one of the things. Paul Saladino mentioned when I saw him in November, he said, you should check your thyroid. He said, because if, you know, I don't think you're eating enough carbohydrates. And I said, no, of course I am. I'm eating plenty. And he said, have you ever tracked your calories? And I said, look, I tend not to, but I know that I'm eating enough. And then when I got back to Australia, I just started tracking my calories and realized that I was not eating a lot of carbohydrates at all, like at all. And he said, that'll impact your thyroid health. And thyroid is the master controller for so many different things in the body. And it can really go astray when you don't give it what it needs.
Mm. It's funny you say that because I actually had a client, right? And she was literally getting issues with her vision and stuff. And she went and had like emergency tests in America because she was panicking, thinking I've got something wrong with my brain. And her son's got cerebral palsy and stuff. And she was like really panicking about, oh, is this a genetic thing? Everything's all clear. Couldn't figure it out. And I was like, okay, well, you know, she dipped into the carnivore world and everything else. We cycle carbohydrates, but she hadn't been eating. She wasn't tracking at this point. She, you know, like you said then, right? You don't want to be tracking forever. It's not something you want to be doing forever. It should never be a destination for anyone. No. She got to the point where she was intuitive eating. But then when we, okay, let's go back to tracking, just like Saladino said to you,
yeah,
she was just naturally having like literally under 30 grams of carbs. I was like, okay, well, let's pump the carbs up. Because I know I didn't have a lot of knowledge, but I know the, you know, the kind of, what's the word, the function with the thyroid and carbohydrates, there's a big link, right? So, okay, so let's do this. Literally, her vision came back. She wasn't getting dizzy spells. Her energy came back. It was literally a case of, I think it was something to do with the blood sugar levels, wherever it was.
Yeah.
She became almost, there's a word for it, where you're not anemic, but there's another word, where hypoglycemic or something.
Hypoglycemic.
Yeah, I think it was like on the border of that from where she, you know, so you can take it too far. And that's why metabolic flexibility, right, Stu? I talked about this with someone recently. I don't know if you heard of Ben Azidi. I had him on recently. And it's really, really important. It's like when you train, right, Stu? Go to the gym, you throw a curveball, you're not going to do the same thing day in, day out for a year. You're going to switch it up. It's kind of the same diet in a sense, isn't it?
100%. And it's really important to understand that we are all very, very different. And what you think you might know about yourself may not actually be the truth. So I recently ran a DNA test on myself through a company in the States called the DNA Company. Very, very in depth, and they go over a series of markers for nutrition and mindset, longevity, exercise performance, all of these different facets. And from there, they tell you what your genes are, and they tell you what you could be predisposed to if you're not accessing the right nutrients or following the right habits. And I've followed such a clean and supposedly healthy diet for almost 2 decades. And I came out with a page of supplements and recommendations for things that I need that I never thought I needed. Things like vitamin D, K2, like my pathways in there essentially barely work. So I was told that I don't really absorb vitamin D from foods that I eat. I find it incredibly hard to get vitamin D from the sun, which is like I'm from the UK and I love the sun.
Yeah, of course.
As you do, no doubt.
Yeah, 100%. We both live in Australia. We've got no choice, have we? You know,
no, that's right.
We love that shit.
But I realized that I'm actually not getting any D or K2 from any of these sources. And so I had to supplement with that. N-acetylcysteine, so NAC, which is a precursor to glutathione, my pathways are really, really slow. So I've started taking that. I feel 100% better. Everything's better. Literally
Wow.
everything.
It's these little nutrient deficiencies that you wouldn't detect. So what's the name of this? So this is a company in the US, is it? Or
it's a company in the US called The DNA Company. And
the DNA Company. So there's a half of my audience are in the US anyway. So the DNA Company. Can you do the test from here, though, or do you have to?
You can, yes. Yeah.
You send off your saliva or something, is it?
Yeah, they send you a kit. You spit into a plastic test tube. You send it off. 2 weeks later, you get your stats, and it's all beautifully illustrated in this huge plan. And you just find out a lot about yourself. Some of these things that, for instance, I have a history of Alzheimer's and dementia in the family. Like, both of my parents died at reasonably early ages, 68 and 70,
wow,
from Alzheimer's. And I have a reasonably high risk of falling foul to Alzheimer's earlier rather than later. And if I followed the wrong protocols for my diet and lifestyle, if I was a smoker and a drinker and I didn't pay attention to sleep and I didn't move and I didn't eat the right foods, then I could go downhill very quickly. So I'm kind of on top of that, but it's really good to know, because it's a little bit like, and they talk about these genes, that your genes are bullets in a gun, but your lifestyle pulls the trigger. And so if we want to be wild and crazy and reckless, then it's quite possible or probable that we could then activate some of these genes that will have adverse reactions and causes grief down the track. So it's really, I just love the data, like the...
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Well, again, you're the one who got me on the Euro ring. Like, this guy's given me a lot of advice, man, and it's all paying off. But no, I was going to say, I'll check out that company, the DNA, one more time. I'll do it at the end, but just for the audience.
The DNA Company.
The DNA Company. Awesome. Right. I'm going to get onto that 100%. I'm going to check that out. But no, just going back to what you were saying then, I'd like you to just give a bit of an insight, because just for the audience, you know, Stu, you don't drink.
Yeah.
You know, you take care of yourself. And what I like to, because I'm just trying to get into the mindset of, you know, the average person, I guess, is, you know, people do it, again, environment, social influence, people go out into certain environments, everyone's drinking, you know, they might not necessarily want to drink, then they get into a certain environment, they might have a few drinks here and there. Some people might drink too much and maybe eat too much. But what do you do? Like, because I know we were just talking off air then, you've got your hobbies, which keep you occupied. Yes. You've got three daughters as well, right? Which keep
three
you on your
daughters,
toes, and a business to run. But like, I'd like to know, like, how you stay so disciplined. You don't do any of those things with, you know, let's just say drink it, for example, right? You don't drink, you don't do none of that. I hardly drink, but you don't drink at all. What do you do for fun? How do you kind of stay on top of everything with your business, three daughters? How do you do it, man?
Well, I think that for me, because I spent so long with the podcast and 180 Nutrition, and I was just immersed in this whole world of alternative health, in terms of what if we do things differently to the instructions that we're given by mainstream health and media? What if I don't eat salads every day? What if I don't cover myself in sunscreen? What if I, you know, have all of my inoculations and vaccinations and everything under the sun? What if I didn't do any of that? Like, where does true health lie? And I think from that continual search for new knowledge and different perspectives, it's kind of changed the program inside of me, because I've got zero interest in crap food. Like, if somebody brings out a can of Doritos and chips and dips and booze or whatever, there's no signal there anymore. There's just no signal. It could as well be cat food. Like, I just don't get that signal. But if somebody brings out pork belly, or you know, steak, or these, you know, beautiful whole foods, then that signal is like, bang, like, I have to have that. And I think because these habits have been ingrained with me for so long, I mean, I've been going to the gym since I was 16. I just love lifting weights. It makes me feel great. And I love to move all the time. I just want to feel fantastic. I want maximum energy all the time, from the moment I get up in the morning to the point when I go to bed. I don't ever want to jeopardize that with booze. And yeah, sure, I used to drink, but I've never been a big drinker. It's never worked for me. It's always just left me feeling crap.
Yeah, speaking of genes, you got quite lucky there, mate, because like, it is my dad was like an alcoholic and stuff. So it's like, I get rewarded. If I have a drink, it feels amazing. You know, it's like a little trap for me, though I really, really drink nowadays.
A part of me wishes that was me, but I have a drink and I feel immediately crap. And I'm talking like in 10 minutes, I feel crap. Like throat feels wrong. It just all feels wrong. And the next day is ruined. Like if I have a couple of beers, the next day is just, oh my God, what am I doing? I just abide by the rule that, you know, maybe I've got 2 decades left. And, you know, I'm 52. Maybe I'll live till 75. Who knows? I mean, I could live till I'm 105.
Yeah, but you want to be on your game, you know, when your daughters grow up and they go, how old is your eldest daughter now?
18.
18, yeah, okay, all right.
There you go. So that I've got, yeah, 3 girls, 18 and 2 15-year-olds. And
wow.
So there's a lot going on.
Are they twins, the younger ones? Are they twins, the younger ones?
They're twins, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So 3 girls.
Double trouble, all right.
Double trouble, totally right. So I just want to be, I don't want to be that guy who just sits there and can't do anything. Like, I'm the one who's like, right, come on, let's go. We'll all go surfing next week or, we'll, you know, whatever it is. Let's go for a beach walk. Let's walk the dog. Let's go hiking. Like, it's just such a limited time. I just want to grasp it and make sure that I've got the energy. And I want to make sure that sickness is just not an option. Like, we're doing the best we can to eat whole foods, get sunshine, try and dodge all of the bullets that come out of media in terms of you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Like, bullshit. No, that's just not the way that it is. I just think that health should be reasonably simple. Like, you make sure that you're not deficient in any nutrients, so you eat good amount of whole foods. Stress your body sometimes with things like exercise, saunas, cold, all that kind of stuff. That's great. Don't do it all the time. Make sure that you recover. Get lots and lots and lots of sunlight. Don't dodge the sun. Work on sleep. Work on relationships and everything generally falls into place that way. I mean, that's kind of where we come. It doesn't have to be hard. And oftentimes I think the internet has made it seem like it's really, really hard to stay healthy. And it's just, you know, if you're not feeling great and you still drink alcohol, well, just know that alcohol is a toxin. And if you're consuming toxins, you're not going to feel your best. Your liver is going to deal to toxins first before it deals to all the other stuff that will make you feel your best. So it's really just a process of elimination. And for me, you know, I had just like you, we come from the UK. When I was younger and I went through college and university, like, yeah, we were drunk all the time. And it just had a great old time. And that's where you test your boundaries. And so I've done that. I don't want to do that anymore. Like now I did my damage then. And now I want to try and protect what I have. So I want to be strong and I don't want to be frail when I get older. So I'm kind of working towards where I want to be. If I want to still do what I do now in my 70s, then I better be training today to build big, strong legs and a stable core and be as robust as I can. Otherwise, we know that as years go by, we lose a little bit more muscle if you don't use it. Well, I'm just going to keep using it and do my very best to build it. And I do not have the genes to build muscle easily. So that was one thing that came out in that DNA test. I find it hard. Building muscle is hard. So that's fine. I'll just keep stressing it and tricking it with different exercises and different variations, loading up with as many nutrients in terms of protein and branched chain amino acids and all of the building blocks that I can while I have access to it. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from. Try and keep it simple, build on healthy routines, figure out what works, figure out where the stumbling blocks are and just work on eradicating them.
And how do you find the time? How do you make the time? Because that's essentially what it is. You're making time, right? Because I know a lot of people listening, they struggle with time management, right? Because that's what it is. It's not I haven't got the time. It's you're not managing the time well.
Yeah.
But you've got a business run. You've got 3 kids. You've got lots going on. You just talked about all the stuff you do then. You lift weights. Yeah. You know, you do your hobbies like your sailing. You do your deep water diving. You know, you're out in the sun. You get great quality. You manage to sleep like 8.5 hours a night, right? I saw your Aura scores. Like, how do you manage to like factor all this into your life? And then on top of that, obviously, you know, you got a wife. You know, you have to be social as well, don't you? Right? Mm. I know you don't go out drinking, but it's a lot, right?
I just make them non-negotiable. Everything is non-negotiable, and I try and kind of pack things in. So I've got a dog. Walk the dog on the beach every day after work. Or typically we kind of work finishes for me at about 2 o'clock. And so I get on the beach with the dog. I can make phone calls for work on the beach, like shirt off, walking. So I'm getting some cardio, just walking up and down for an hour, getting sunshine. So I know that I'm kind of, I'm getting my sunshine there.
And apparently, most of the vitamin D, the vitamin D receptors, though, I always do that, are in your stomach. Apparently, most of them are around your midsection, apparently. So, there we go. For your vitamin D, mate, any excuse to take the shirt off, you know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Well, why wouldn't you?
You know what I mean? I'm like, but it's daylight. I got to take it off. This is like, it's July. It's like the peak winter. It's 100%. 2 degrees.
100%. But it's all non-negotiable. Like, training is non-negotiable. When you make it non-negotiable, you make it work. And it's just like, okay, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday, those are my lifting. Like I go to the gym and I spend around an hour, sometimes an hour and 15, but I've got the routine that I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it doesn't matter what happens. Like I will work my business and my life around that. And that's just how it works.
What advice would you give to the old version? I know it hasn't always been like this, right? Because literally, it's been decades in the making of you getting to work right now where you can finish work at 2 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people, they won't have that luxury because they're not where you're at. But back to when you were grinding, you're probably working a lot more hours. Yep. Did you still manage to factor everything in? Did you still have that structure even 10 years back where everything was non-negotiable or just developed?
Training has always been non-negotiable. And I think it's always been non-negotiable because the way it makes me feel.
Same.
It's just like I couldn't ever imagine not training ever. I don't think that I would want to continue existing if I couldn't train and move my body in some way. It would just be, what would the point be? I couldn't ever imagine that. So
you wouldn't be the same person. Mentally, you'd just be, eventually you'd be mentally ill, wouldn't you? Let's be honest, I would anyway. I'd be insane.
And so I
wouldn't
just
take
long. So I've got friends up here and they like to catch up for lunch. And so I've been just trying to orchestrate that in terms of, instead of let's doing lunch, why don't we go on a walk? Like, cause we've got Byron Bay, like Sydney, we've got great beaches, long beaches, and you can just walk forever and chat. And so instead of sitting in a pub for 2 hours, we can be walking on a beach for 2 hours. And we just, you know, we just swap up the way that we, you know, I'll eat before, they'll eat before, and we meet up on the beach. And that's been a big hit for everybody. They're like, oh, why didn't we do this before? And so it's just a little bit of a different mindset. If I have to take meetings, I'll always preference phone and I'll walk. I'll just walk. I would not sit at my desk for a phone meeting. It's pointless. I'll just get away and do things. Similarly with sleep, like I preference sleep now. Like let me
just stop on that one though, right? Because that's really important. It's a simple thing. I say this to clients, go for a walk, right?
Movement.
And if you can get out in nature and hit two birds with one stone, what nature does for your soul is actually unbelievable. Like if I don't do it, I feel it. I feel more anxious. I live in like a little mini city. So I go and do my grounding in the park. I go play volleyball, get out to the ocean. You know, not everyone has the luxury of having a beach, but just getting out in nature is so good for your soul. And if you can do that with friends, so you've got that connection as well, it's a win.
I think that lifting heavy weights and walking, like I think those two things go so well, like just hand in hand. You don't have to hit the treadmill and you don't have to slog around the streets or, you know, with your joggers on. Just walk, go up some hills. You know, find some stairs, like you know, Coogee, the stairs, right?
You've seen 100% the Coogee Death stairs. Yeah.
Like brutal.
But absolutely savage. Yeah. I used to do them when I used to lead up to like bodybuilding comp and like fitness modeling. Oh my God, that gets you lean real quick if you want that extra edge. The thing is, you're hitting the nail on the head because you get your heart rate up for sustained periods when you're lifting weights. It's an interesting thing, and I have this little bit of conflict with people. I know I'm not the top. If I wanted to get super next level fit, you know, for sprinting or running, obviously I'm going to have to do those things. If I want to go and cycle 100K, I'm going to have to cycle more. But generally, my fitness is at a really good level. When I was doing jiu-jitsu, I'd do that, turn up, one of the fittest guys there. I go play volleyball. I'm one of the fittest guys there. I don't do any cardio because 20 years of lifting weights and doing it in a purposeful way, as you know, because you followed one of the programs, you actually get some of the fitness benefits out of her anyway, if you're doing it properly, you know?
It is insane. So last year I tested my VO2 max because I really, really wanted to know how fit I was from a cardiovascular perspective. And I was listening to a lot of the big experts on the web and podcasts, etc. And they were saying VO2 max, like it's the test for longevity. Like the higher your VO2 max, then the longer supposedly you're going to live. Now, in order to test the VO2 max, they'll put you on a treadmill or a bike and they'll just run you. And you run, for instance, the treadmill, they'll start you off at say setting number 10 and then they'll go, all right, another minute, 11, another minute, 12, 13, 14. And at the end of it, you are sprinting flat out on as fast as it will go for as long as you possibly can. And you've got this oxygen mask on.
Savage.
And you've got a sports scientist next to you and you're rigged up to a computer and they just tell you what you need to know. And I tested my VO2 max. I don't run. I can run, like, because I'm lean.
If you see Stu running, you better run as well, because he's running away from something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I said, if you ever see me running, you better run too.
The tiger's coming. But that year, all I'd done, like you, I'd lifted weights and I'd walked. Like, that's all. And admittedly, I'd self-experimented with walking more. So 15 to 20,000 steps a day for a year, just because I could fit that in with phone calls, walking the dog, like getting up, walking to work, things like that. And so zero running, but I tested my VO2 max and I was in the elite category for a 20 to 25 year old male.
Really? How long ago was that?
Last year, I was 51.
51, that's insane. Yeah. But and you occasionally do some cycling, you do your sailing, but you don't do any intense cardio, do you? The deep sea diving, though, that's got to play a part in that, though, hasn't it? Surely.
So
massively.
It does. So breath holding and apnea training for lung function, I think, probably played a part in that, because ultimately, when you're free diving, you aim to hold your breath for as long as you can in a safe environment. And you try and familiarize and get as comfortable as you possibly can with CO2 tolerance, which is that feeling of wanting to breathe when naturally it's just a natural reaction. Oftentimes you don't have to breathe because you've got maybe 98% blood saturation in your body, but you feel like you have to breathe. And as a free diver, when you're training for that, it's all about resisting that urge so you feel more comfortable. And I did find that after a year or so of doing lots of this training, when I was doing out on a walk or steps or any of these things, or jumped on the bike, like, it was so easy. Like, it was really easy. So that would have played a part.
Your lung capacity would have increased, but I don't think you would have been far off, though. I think you still would have been at the top end, but maybe that took you from the elites 20 to 25, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you'd have been 25 to 30 elites, maybe not 20 to 25, but the lung capacity, the cardiorespiratory system is going to be way more efficient, right? Doing that. That's awesome, man. That's such a great thing to do, though, for your health.
And again, it's just like markers, right? I just want to know where I am. And it gives me like a benchmark. So with any of your clients, like, you've got to, well, where are you now? And then, great. Well, that gives us metrics to then improve upon. What do I need to improve on over the next 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 1 month, you know, et cetera, and just moving forward. And then we can track again. And once we see these incremental changes, then we know we're going in the right direction and everything then starts to fall into place. So,
yeah. And you recommended that book, didn't you, as well? Outlive is behind me there in the book thing.
That's Peter.
And he puts it in such a effective way, because you should be looking ahead, right? It's like you were just saying then.
Yeah.
52 next year? 50, yeah. 52 this year?
52 this year.
52 this year. So, like, you know, 10 years from now, 62, 20 years, 72. So you want to be playing ahead of that. You want to get ahead of that, which you're already doing, right, with the VO2 max test. But it's strength as well. Luckily, you've been lifting weights since you were 16, and same as me. I would say, all in all, that's probably more important than the other. I mean, they're both important. But if you can do strength training, you're going to get some of those benefits, at least anyway, with the heart and lungs. And also, then you're protecting yourself against all sorts of things as you get older, right? And muscle for longevity, organ, another thing you taught me, mate, bloody hell. my private mentor over here, you know what I mean?
No, I love it. I love it. I just think it's the secret sauce. Like, lifting weights is, and I think I must have told you this before in a conversation, but on one of the podcasts, when we had a longevity specialist from the States, and I said, give me just, what's the one tip I can share with my audience? The one thing that they can do to live as long as they possibly can, live happier, healthier lives, thinking that he was going to talk about a supplement, and he just said, lift weights. He said, it changes everything. And I really think that that's so true. I'm just addicted by lifting.
It makes sense. If you look at it from a logical standpoint, though, right? Because people think skin's the biggest organ in the body. That's like 12-13% of your total body organ mass, whereas skeletal muscle, give or take, is 40%, right? So it's kind of like, that's one thing. But then all the research, there's going to be, I reckon, over the next, I don't know, few years, 5 years, maybe even 10, 5 years, there's going to be way more coming through, because it still doesn't add up in terms of the benefits on metabolism. Because they say 1 pound of muscle is only, this is what the research shows, right? 6 to 13 calories. That's what 1 pound of muscle is going to burn.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more going on there, because the calculations I've done, it's like my clients, their body will be burning 50 to 100 calories more a day every 4 weeks, like, or so, let's just say every training phase, if they're having high protein, which is the big if, right? Because that, you know, speeds your metabolism up, your body burns more calories. So there's a lot more to it than that, you know? And also as well, just the fact that, you know, it's, you know, if you have any falls when you get older and stuff like that, you need that strength. It's the test they do, the grip strength test.
Yes.
It's one of the most, you know, key metrics for longevity, right?
I think so. I just think, having lean muscle, I mean, it's metabolic. I mean, there's so many things that it provides you with, in better glucose tolerance, you know, insulin sensitivity, all of the above. You see it, like, you can see it everywhere. More so when you live in Australia, especially by the beach, because you see a lot of the old timers who are still enjoying their ocean swims in their 70s and 80s in comparison, like my grandparents and some, a lot of the old pensioners in the UK where we come from, where it's cold and it's wet and you're really, really not, you just don't have the right environment to want to get outside and kind of live. And I am fully into use it or lose it, and I'm going to continue to try and get above average results from everything, like whether it be walking, breathing, sleeping, nutritional supplements, all of the above. Like, I just want to keep, you know, keep pushing. What can I take now as a 52-year-old that I wouldn't take when I was 40 that will get me through to my 60s and 70s? And at the moment, it's, for me, it's protein and supplementation on top of a whole food diet that I'm really concentrating on. I'm really pushing the hot, like, high quality protein up more now than I ever have been, because knowing from the DNA test that I really struggle to put on lean muscle, and we know that without protein it's going to be almost impossible, and similarly without carbohydrates, like, it's going to be really hard as well if you're not fueling your muscles with carbohydrates. So it's I've radically changed.
And that is that's the big one, though, anyway. If you can take one thing away when it comes to nutrition, the research is very clear now. I had Dr. Ted Nyman on the last podcast, and he said if people could eat even 20% of their calories minimum came from protein, it would reverse the whole obesity epidemic. It would change everything, right? Literally, it's not a massive ask, really. If you put some work in and you actually be mindful, it's not a great deal. It's not a great deal. It's not like, you know, you have to do too much. You just have to be consistent with doing that. And then naturally, then you eat less food, which means you're not over consuming calories and damaging your metabolic health, gaining body fat, and putting yourself up, you know, 100 times more higher risk at things like diabetes, you know, even Alzheimer's, they call that type 3 diabetes now, right? Because there's a big link there with diet, of course. So it's like, it's not that complicated, but the quality of the protein matters. But I think the number one thing first is just getting that protein in. And then obviously, once you start doing that, obviously having complete protein sources is key, but naturally you're going to get that simply just by eating meat. So it's not complicated if you eat good quality, especially ruminant animals, right? Like your beef, your bison, those kind of things.
100%. And one of the things that I wanted to tell you as well. So a couple of weeks ago, I got a CGM, so continuous glucose monitor. Yep. I wore that for about a week because I was mindful of, I still don't know what's happening to my blood sugars when I consume. And I was eating a truckload more fruit, like after, almost like a fruit bowl after my evening meal. And I thought, well, what's that actually doing? And interestingly enough, because I was having it after, it actually wasn't doing that much, weren't really that big of spikes, but I could almost flatline that glucose spike if I went for a walk after each meal. It was that beneficial. Walking after a meal is so beneficial for digestion and blood glucose management in your body. For me, anyway, and my wife found exactly the same thing. And she has a
So you've got the data to show that now, because they've done research recently. They said a 2-minute walk. I think I mentioned this to you last time. Even walk down to the end of the road, 2 minutes, balances out your blood sugar levels. And not to mention, you feel more satiated then, right? Yeah. Because blood flow, obviously you get the signal then to tell you you're full, and you're not going to be as hungry because your sugar levels are balancing out, right? So it's a ripple effect you get then as well.
Totally, yeah.
That's insane. Yeah, that's a habit I've cemented in over the years, you know, like after every single meal, walk after every meal is just non-negotiable now.
Yeah, I
can't do it. People think I'm a weirdo. Like, no matter where I'm at, I'm like, see ya in Brazil. Brazil, you know, the whole family, because I went to Brazil for a month.
Yeah,
Christmas
time.
It was great. Oh, man. I've talked about this.
I've never seen so much meat.
My man, I'm telling you now, is the where she lives is like the second best. I thought it was the best, but the second best in the whole of Brazil in terms of the quality of the meat there. All, you don't even have to say grass-fed organic. It's all that. When you think you're eating organic here, unless you're growing your own, right? That's different. Yeah. If you're buying it from the stores or even from the markets or whatever, it's not the same. Like when you're picking it off trees, like mangoes and fruits I've never heard of right over there. There's loads of different things and everything.
Yeah.
But mate, that was unbelievable. And I'd just be there, I'd eat my meal. We'd all be around talking. I'd talk for a little bit. I'm just going to go for my walk now. See you later. Just walk around their block. It's just cemented in. And, you know, I talk about this like a broken record, but everything alludes to behaviors and habits, right?
Yeah.
You start with a behavior. You start walking after your meals. You do that consistently, and you're not always going to be perfect. Sometimes you might be stuck at your desk or whatever. It's not about being perfect, but for the most part, you're doing that. And then it becomes second nature because you go, okay, when I do this, I don't feel as hungry. And then obviously you've tracked it, your blood sugar levels. It keeps you doing it then. It's even more non-negotiable then, isn't it? You know?
It's absolutely. And that's what it becomes non-negotiable and it just becomes enjoyable. And I want to do more things that are enjoyable. And I want to get up in the morning and feel like I did yesterday and the day before and the year before, like full of energy, no aches and no pains, ready to go. I can tackle whatever I want. If I want to go surfing, freediving, mountain biking, sailing or whatever, you can do it. Because you're not encumbered by an ailment in any way, shape or form, or sickness or an illness. And whatever I can do to get as much of this enjoyment, you know, in my time, I'll do. And I've kind of passed that through to my daughters as well. And I've got 2 15-year-olds and an 18-year-old, and they love going to the gym. Like they
just, awesome.
They love it.
Great, man. They're lifting weights.
Fantastic,
my man.
Lifting weights.
That's the way to do it.
But they
they're going to be insane, man. Give it like five, especially at that age as well. 5, 10 years in the gym consistently from that age. They're going to be new weapons. Watch out.
They're smartly supplementing. I mean, some of the girls, my eldest Olivia is taking creatine because her meat consumption isn't through the roof and because she knows that it's good for cognition as well. I take it mainly for cognition, but they're on the organ supplements. They have protein powders just in place of whatever they need to or whatever they're not getting through their meals. But it just follows on. Like if lead by example, right?
And social input. And it's like, just to wrap this up with, you know, like you've got the likes of Saladino, you know, you've obviously you've got a relationship with him. He's kind of like a friend of yours now. And I've got you, and it's like when you respect someone and you know they walk the walk, there's so many things. Like even just the other week, we text and you said, oh, yeah, I'm taking creatine or something. I don't know how we got onto that. And I was like, I haven't been taking it for a while because I normally get up for a pee because I get water retention. Started taking it again. It seems to be fine this time around. So I don't know whether that was something else. I'm like, okay, let's just make sure we take this now. Even though I'm eating plenty of meat, even Saladino started taking it again, didn't he? He was saying.
Yes.
He used to talk. He used to say, I don't really need it because you get X amount through meat. But he said he started taking it and he felt better, right? So, you know,
that's right.
It's all being passed down. But I've got friends, like my close friend, the stuff you've told me. Obviously, you know me, I look into the research then. I read books or whatever, look into it. I'll just do a lot of the stuff you say anyway. But I do like to learn about these things as well, like yourself.
Yeah.
And then I'll pass it down to people and they're doing the same thing and they're getting results. So again, it's that kind of like knock-on effect from social influence and having the right people around you, isn't it?
I'll just throw something in the mix there because I'm intrigued at what you just said, especially about I'm not getting up to pee anymore. Since I've been taking, we were going to talk about this bull's testicle. So we've got this new product now, bull's testicle, which we haven't released yet, but we will. I've been trialing it for 4 months now. I've been giving it to a ton of people. I know that
you just gave me a term. I'm 1 week in. I'm going to be absolutely, I'm going to be a mutant soon, right? I'm going to be like the guy off X-Men, whatever his name is.
The one thing that I noticed immediately, but it coincided when I stopped eating potatoes as well. I don't get up in the middle of the night to pee. And I used to get up every night, maybe 3 o'clock. I don't get up in the night to pee. I gave it to a friend of mine, Brendan, who is strength and conditioning coach and fully into this whole lifestyle that we lead as well. He said to me, man, I don't have to get up in the night to pee anymore. And you just mentioned the same thing as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether...
I know, that's interesting. No, with me though, so just to be clear, with me, it was when I started taking creatine.
Yeah,
I never get up for a pee. I'm good. So I don't actually get up for a pee, but I started taking creatine last time around because the water retention you get from it, I assumed it was making me get up. So normally I'm fine anyway. So, but then, actually it's kicked in my head now. So I started taking creatine the other week And then I started taking this about a week after that. Oh, actually, that could actually be it then.
Don't
it
know.
Could be that. Because normally, if I start taking creatine, I definitely get it for a pee. So who knows? It's another benefit. So you're getting better sleep. Maybe, that's a game changer within itself. Can I invest in that, mate? Please let me invest in the testicles.
Anything that we can do to get better sleep is, it's on my radar always. Like, you get another 10 minutes of quality sleep, then I'm in for that. Like,
awesome.
That's just the game changer. That's the biggest pillar.
Last question I've got for you, right? Because I know the audience will be interested in this. A lot of them are really plugged into the carnivore stuff. A lot of them eat carnivore. What's Paul Saladino like as a person, and what have you kind of learned from him?
He is super, super focused, like very, very focused. But I think he's a trailblazer. He is so deep into this journey of self-experimentation. The thing that I like about him is that he's not afraid to put his hand up and go, you know what, this didn't work for me. I tried it. It didn't work for me. In as much as he wrote a second edition to the Carnivore Code, and he's not doing a whole heap of things that he was doing in the start in terms of, you know, I've tried full carnivore and it was great. And then it wasn't great. And then I started getting cramps and sports performance was bad and sleep was terrible. And so I included fruits in that. And then, you know what, I'm going to try... Now dairy's come in. Dairy was bad, but now dairy is better because it's more raw dairy and raw milk and all that kind of stuff, which is radically different to all the pasteurized stuff. But he is he's an interesting character. He tests and he learns like that, and he is very fastidious about test and learn. So he was doing lots and lots of weight training and then swapped that for surfing. And skating. So it's more about body movement. It's more about being out in nature, in the elements and the sunshine, and just continually testing. Well, what does it look like if I start juicing? And then going down that rabbit hole of, well, hold on a minute. Everybody says that juicing is terrible for you, but hold on, what if it isn't? And finding studies that pulled out some data on insulin sensitivity improving with like orange juice, freshly squeezed orange juice of all things, which sounds counterintuitive, but definitely, a great person to be around, especially when you've been in this world for so long and had so many conversations, read so many books, listened to so many podcasts that you can kind of talk to him about mitochondria, about endothelium, about all these things that just are sitting on, like his IQ is up here.
He's a smart guy, and he's got to give him credit for that, man. And very smart.
How can your recall be that good? Like, how can
you? Yeah. Someone who literally is immersing themselves into like the research and stuff, man. That's a lot of work. And like, he gets stick for certain things, but I'm always the one who, like, I want to play things more safe. So it's like things like the headphones, you know, the headphones without the wires and, you know, radiation in the brain.
I've used these since day one. They're wired. They're a pain. Nice. I put them in my pocket in the gym, nicely coiled. I pull them out and it's like the world's most
common. Hey, that's what I'm saying. I've gone back to using them again. Like, keep doing it, right? I'll go like a few months, then I'll just use the wire, then I'll go back to the...
I just won't do that. But yeah, he was the guy that initially said testicle. He said, do you consume bull's testicle? And previously to that, I just thought, this is marketing rubbish. Like, this is absolute nonsense. And he goes, no. And check out this data. Read these studies. And then I realized that as a 52-year-old male with declining testosterone in a population where 80% of all males now are virtually infertile.
It's insane, isn't it?
We think that we've got a population explosion problem. It's the other way
around. No. Like, population destruction, more like.
Yeah, we're a dying breed.
100%.
So I want to do everything that I can in terms of getting all of the precursors to testosterone and all those sex hormones, whether it be from the sun, from food, from eggs, from supplements like bull's testicle and beef liver and all of that stuff. I want to get as many of those raw ingredients in my body that essentially give it all of the materials it needs to produce everything that it should be doing at my age. So, yeah, I think very worthy character to follow and listen to, mocked by so many people. But when I look into the backstory of the people that are mocking, I think you've got no idea. Like, this guy is an absolute trailblazer, and the majority of things that he is saying right now will be commonplace in a decade, I guarantee it.
It makes sense to me, just the way he lives and everything else, just to ground him, being out in nature. He just reminds me of stuff I already know.
Yeah.
Like, I realized at one point I wasn't getting out much in nature. Then I saw one of his videos. He was jumping into the water, walking around. I'm like, it makes sense. That's how humans evolve. You don't need to question that and laugh about it. It's just do it and see how you've... And then obviously, like, surprise, surprise, I felt a bit better. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like... A lot of it's common sense, but he takes it because he's that like 0.01% of person who lives his life so healthy. Yeah. Like, he really is the man you wanna listen to with that stuff, if you ask
me.
Well,
he's in that enviable environment for some, not for everybody, in terms of doesn't have a family. He's affluent. He's intelligent. He's well-educated. He can test. And he loves to be the ultimate test case study. He's N equal one. I'm going to try it. And I'm smart enough to be able to delve into the studies and document all of this and share it with a huge audience who question and ask him all these curveball questions, and he tries something else. And he's finding out all, you know, who would have thought that pulling some vegetables out of your diet would be beneficial? But hey, it makes perfect sense. Like, you know, yes, you might be reacting to this. Everybody else under the sun will tell you, eat your broccoli, eat your cauliflower. Well, I had in my DNA test that I had back recently, in one of my pathways, a longevity pathway, it said that I am estrogen dominant. And I have got a couple of genes that allow me not to gray too early in life and to retain my hair for as long as possible. I could change that to be androgen dominant if I ate too many cruciferous vegetables. So broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. If I gorge on that, everybody says, eat your greens. I could be gray and bald tomorrow. I probably wouldn't, but that's...
Yeah, but over time though, who knows? It makes sense, doesn't it? Why would you want to take that? If you know that information, why would you want to take your chances, isn't it?
That's right.
You just want to be smart about things. Yeah, hey, yeah. Awesome, Stu. Was great to chat, my man. Could talk for hours. Is anything you want to share with the audience, or where can the audience find you or your company or anything?
Absolutely. Look, the Health Sessions is the podcast. You can find that on all the usual channels. You'll find me at ancestralnutrition.com.au or on Instagram, ancestral_nutrition. We've got a lot going on there, and that's kind of just where where the conversation is at the moment. But I would love to hear from your listeners, and if I can be of any help in any way, I'd love to hear from them.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Hey, thanks again for coming on, Stu. Really enjoyed that, man. There's a ton of value in this episode, my man.
Take
thanks
care.
Again.